Rival gangs on the rampage again in Dili. Another firefight. More houses torched, all under the noses of foreign peacekeepers. Australia has urged more Asian nations to send troops to try to enforce order on East Timor. Only Malaysia has so far joined Australia and New Zealand in a regional effort to quell weeks of unrest.
No, no, do not carry these.
Portugal has responded to the call for help, a new contingent of troops and police getting a warm welcome.
We love Australia too, but Portugal is different, it's like our father.
Portugal held East Timor as a colony until 1975. The world's youngest country has been wracked by violence since March, when hundreds of troops were sacked after striking over allegations of sectarian favoritism. Those living in the west of East Timor are seen as being pro-Indonesian. Those in the east, pro-independence. The east-west divide first surfaced during a bloody referendum in 1999, when East Timor voted to secede from Indonesia. Susan Flory, Reuters.
A pregnant Palestinian woman is among the dead. She and a relative were caught in the firing line in Gaza. The bullet was intended for a local Hamas leader. Mohammed El-Gaban was traveling in a car with family members when gunmen opened fire on his vehicle. He and his brother are critically wounded and being treated in a nearby hospital. Hamas blamed Fatah for the incident and deployed gunmen shortly afterwards on the streets. In a separate incident, three bystanders were killed when they were caught in the crossfire in Gaza City. Hamas militants were seen shooting at gunmen. Hospital officials pronounced all three bystanders dead on arrival. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh held talks last month to try to bridge the differences between their two political parties. But these latest clashes prove the more progress is made, the more difficult it is to quell the violence. Cindy Martin, Reuters.
Palestinian public sector workers are flocking to banks for their first pay in 3 months. Salaries dried up when the US and some Western countries blocked international aid, branding the Hamas government a terrorist organization.
It doesn't worry us which government comes. It worries us the food and bread and butter for our kids. That's all we need and all we ask for.
Money will mean little to families burying the victims of the latest internal clashes. Five people were buried on Monday, all caught in the crossfire between gunmen loyal to Hamas or the president's Fatah faction. The European Union's foreign policy chief, Javier Solana, met President Abbas to discuss the government's problems, said EU aid will continue.
The amount of money which is going to be spent on the Palestinian people in the year 2006 will be more than the one it was spent in 2005.
Banks are using their own reserves, not international funds. Distinction they hope will allow them to avoid US sanctions for dealing with Hamas, who continue to defy the international community by refusing to recognize Israel. Money will be a lifeline to those struggling to feed their families, though it's only a short-term solution to a problem that won't go away. Stuart McGill, Reuters.
It was a long way to fall from power, but now it looks like Alan Garcia is on his way back up. Peru's ex-president appeared to regain his seat as head of the South American state. Before all the ballots were cast, the skilled orator showed why he was able to win over voters.
Que sepa que aquí hay un pueblo digno.
Let it be known that here are a people that are worthy of Peru's independence and its democracy. Let it be known that we are tired of bullies and militarism.
With most of the votes counted, his challenger, Ollanta Humala, conceded defeat. It appeared voters were wary of his close ties to leftist Venezuelan leader and U.S. foe Hugo Chavez. Garcia campaigned on a platform to reduce poverty and add to the country's already stunning economic growth. two decades ago when he was last in power, his presidency ended in economic ruin, rebel violence, and corruption charges. But Peruvians hope he's learned his lessons, and now can make good on his campaign promises. Cindy Martin, Reuters.
It's a remarkable comeback for Peru's Alan Garcia. He'd been written off after his turn as president in the 1980s ended in economic ruin and Maoist rebel violence. But he's handily defeated a firebrand populist who'd been backed by Venezuela's nationalist anti-American president.
País ha dado también un mensaje mayoritariamente en favor de la independencia nacional.
Today, Peru has sent a message of national sovereignty and has defeated efforts by Hugo Chavez to incorporate us in the expansion strategy of his military and backward-looking model, which he's tried to implant in Latin America.
Peruvians appear to have seen Garcia as the lesser of two evils. The former army chief Orlando Humala spooked the middle class with his calls for a revolution against the rich. Conceding defeat when Mr. Garcia's support hit 55%, Mr. Humala has vowed to keep fighting for the poor, half of Peru's population.
La gran transformación del país.
The project continues, the great transformation begins, and we begin an important work agenda.
Humala promises to be a fierce opposition force starting July 28th, when Alan Garcia will begin his second five-year term as president of Peru. Susan Florey, Reuters.
June in Tenerife means the start of the holiday season for some sun-starved Europeans. But this year, they're having to share the island with some of Spain's unwanted visitors. Senegalese asylum seekers are being held at a detention center near tourist hotspot Los Cristianos. Senegal stopped repatriation flights last week. Legal immigrants were complaining they're being abused by Spanish police. But those who do make it past immigration often work illegally and are on the run.
I don't speak Spanish. I can't talk with you because you are a journalist and there are many policemen around here.
But some tourists don't seem to mind.
It's sad to see that, but it doesn't affect my enjoyment of my holiday particularly.
Whatever immigration problems Spain and Senegal have is between them, say tourists, who added, they just came to get away from it all. Cindy Martin, Reuters.
It looks like science fiction, but it's actually breakthrough technology. A human heart beating in a machine. The heart had stopped when the patient died. The organ was removed and revived using the donor's blood and oxygen. This was how it was transported to hospital, kept in better condition for a better chance of a successful transplant.
We believe that using this machine and reducing the total amount of time that the heart is not being supplied with blood, it will, one, reduce the early failure rate of grafts because there is a frequency at which grafts don't function well or even don't start at all. In addition, we'll be able to go further to recover organs because we won't have the time clock as much of an issue.
The first patient in Britain to undergo this pioneering surgery 2 weeks ago is a 58-year-old man who doesn't want to be identified. The success of his operation could dramatically increase the number of transplants in the future. Up until now, donor organs have been stored and transported on ice and had to be transferred to a recipient within 4 to 6 hours. This new system is likely to give hope to thousands. The breakthrough will become the norm, revolutionising the way transplants are carried out. Stuart McDill, Reuters.
Clone mules made history by running neck and neck against naturally bred mules in northern Nevada this weekend. Idaho Jim is reported to be the world's first clone mule and competed in the same race as Jim's clone brother Idaho Star, finishing third and seventh respectively. John Decker, Reuters.
The manicured lawns were for spectators only. The pitch was the mud flats of the Elbe River. 16 teams got down and dirty in northern Germany for the World Mud Football Cup. Anyone expecting quick passes or dazzling displays of dribbling will have to wait for the real thing.
It's not really sport, it's more like paddling in the mud. There is a ball somewhere which you try to get over the line and that's it.
It's exhausting. When you sink so far into the mud, every step is exhausting. It's impossible, but it's fun.
It was a whole lot of mucky fun for a good cause. Participants raised money for cancer research. Susan Flory, Reuters.
A major upset at this weekend's box office as Jennifer Aniston is basking in her new role as Hollywood's latest movie star. Her new romantic comedy, The Breakup, co-starring real-life companion Vince Vaughn, stunned industry observers by taking the top spot in North America with ticket sales of about $38 million during its first 3 days. The success of The Breakup means last week's champ, X-Men The Last Stand, fell to the number two spot with $34.5 million in its second weekend. Don't feel too bad, though, for the comic book heroes. The film has generated more than $175 million domestically in just 10 days. The rest of the box office looks like this. The animal cartoon Over the Hedge held steady at the number three spot in its third weekend. While the film has held up well, it is expected to take a big hit next weekend. That's when Walt Disney rolls out the Pixar-produced cartoon Cars. Meanwhile, The Da Vinci Code fell two places to number four. The Vatican Thriller was number one overseas for a third weekend. It is worth noting, though, that Pakistan has decided to ban the film after fielding calls from both Christians and Muslims. Rounding out the top five was the Tom Cruise spy franchise thriller Mission Impossible 3. Glamour couple Matthew McConaughey, dubbed the sexiest man alive, and Penelope Cruz have decided to split. People magazine reports the pair, who met while filming 2005 Sahara, actually called it quits about a month ago. Last of the Rolling Stones are headed back to work. With Keith Richards fully recovered from his head injury, the band will kick off a rescheduled leg of their European tour beginning in July. In Los Angeles, I'm John Russell for Reuters.